Okay, we're continuing in 2 Samuel chapter 19. David is coming back to Jerusalem after the defeat of Absalom and the death of Absalom. And as he's coming back, there are people coming down to greet him. And this whole section deals with Shimei. There's a difference between forgiveness and holding a grudge. If you forgive, you have to also do what? Exactly. It's forgiven. And here we have a passage where David says he's not going to execute Shimei, sort of just forget about it. 20 years later, he tells Solomon to execute Shimei as he's lying on his deathbed. Now, if he held that bitterness for 20 years, I mean, you know, unless you can turn those things over to the Lord, you haven't forgiven, it's going to eat away at you, right? Exactly. And so it's just an odd situation, as in many of the things in David's life, right, are odd situations. So we pick it up here in 2 Samuel 19, verse 18b. I don't know why they separated the number the way it is, because this obviously goes with this narrative of Shimei. It says, now Shimei, the son of Gera fell down before the king when he crossed the Jordan. Then he said to the king, do not let my king impute iniquity to me, or remember what wrong your servant did on the day that my lord, the king, left Jerusalem, that the king should take it to heart, for I, your servant, know that I have sinned. Therefore, here I am, the first to come today of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, answered and said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this because he cursed the Lord's anointed? And David said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zerah, that you should be adversaries to me this day? And so, shall any man be put to death today in Israel? For do I not know today I'm king over Israel? Therefore the king said to Shimei, you shall not die. And the king swore to him. Well, sounds like it's a done deal, right? It sounds like, I'm taking care of this. Now, Shimei had cursed David when he fled to Jerusalem and said, the Lord is imputing unto you what you did to the house of Saul, and et cetera, et cetera. And he threw rocks and spat at David. And so, but now the situation's a little bit different. David won. And I'm sure when Shimei found out, he had one of those uh-oh moments, the worm has turned. And so Shimei would have been far, far better to keep his mouth shut than to begin with, right? Whenever you spew bitterness and hatred, it always comes back on you, right? Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And one of the things that you do when you heap aspersions on other people is you burn the bridge, right? Even if you reconcile, that pain and that hurt and that scarring, that's still there, right? That emotional scarring is still there. And so it's something that people carry with them the rest of their lives. And so here, Shimei tries to make amends by greeting David. He profusely begs forgiveness, stating that he had sinned by castigating the king. Now, both Shimei and David know that the only reason why Shimei has asked for forgiveness is because David is back in power. It's not because he really believes that he did something wrong, or that the fact that he's really sorry for it. You know, there's a difference between repentance and remorse, right? I regret I got caught. That's different than repentance, that, you know, I've sinned and I'm repenting of my sin. Now, seeking forgiveness for fear of consequences or because one's afraid or forced to do so, that's not genuine. Had David not come back to power, Shimei would not have been sorry for what he did at all, right? But now Absalom's dead, and Shimei had assumed that Absalom was going to be king, that David's going to be killed, but everything turned around and reversed on him. Now it's coming back on his head. So now here's an interesting statement. It's just a side note here. He said, I am the first of the house of Joseph to greet you. Now, we assume from the previous passage he must have been a Benjamite because he was supporting Saul from Benjamin. But he said, no, he's from the house of Joseph. Well, you see, that means he's either from Ephraim or Manasseh. Prior Ephraim, which bordered on Judah. So he's probably an Ephraimite. He's from the house of Joseph. He's not from the house of Saul. He's not from the house of Benjamin. He said, I'm the first from the house of Joseph to greet you. He's trying to make amends by buttering up the king, right? And so, now Abishai is always quick to want to lop people's heads off. I mean, he just... When Shimei first cursed him, he wanted to go over and lop off that donkey's head. Why should he curse the king? Now that he comes back, Shimei said, why can't I go over and lop off this guy's head? Because he had cursed the God's anointed. He's one of these loppers, you know, just sort of. He's a brother to Joab. He's a nephew of David. And again, Abishai offers to lop off his head. I mean, just give me a chance, and the guys, you know, will just take care of this right now. Because he cursed the Lord's anointed. So let me just take care of this thing. He deserves to die. And David stays Abishai's head. He said he's unwilling to execute justice. And by the way, is there something in between not doing anything and lopping off his head? I mean, is there anything in between those two? I mean, there might be some kind of punishment of penance or servitude or something. But it seems to be that was the two options, right? You either forgive the guy or lop off his head. I mean, not a graduated judgment. Basically what David is saying, this is a day of celebration, right? I'm coming back, I'm back on the throne, and therefore I'm not going to have this day marred by this. You know, Saul did that at the beginning of his reign, right? We're not going to follow this guy, Saul. Who's going to follow this guy? Well, after he wins his great victory at Jabesh Gilead, then there were people saying, well, okay, who said they're not going to follow Saul? Bring him here, we'll lop off their heads. You're not doing lopping off the heads back in. He said, no one's going to die this day. You know, the Lord has won a great victory. It's a day of celebration. We're not going to mix it with blood. Now, David asks, what is he going to do with the sons of Zeruiah? What's he going to do with them? They're all a pain in the side. Joab was a pain in the side. I mean, he killed Abner, he killed Absalom. Later on, he's going to kill Amasa. So what am I going to do with these guys? Abishai, he's always wanted to lop people's heads off, you know. Ahasahel, the one that chased Abner, and Abner killed him in battle, you know, and then Joab sought revenge. And there was three things David had a problem with the sons of Zeruiah. First of all, they were very powerful. People really liked them because they won victories. There's nothing like winning victories to get people to really like you, right? The second thing they had a problem with is the fact that he really needed them. I mean, Joab provided leadership in the army that he couldn't provide himself. And the third thing, to quite truthfully, David was not powerful enough to do that. If you go through the history of the kings of in Germany and the kings in England, the power is in the barons and the nobles. They had to have the support of those barons and nobles to be able to rule. They didn't have absolute power. And so they had to do the same in Russia, the czars and the czarinas. They had to have the power of the elite. That's where their base was. And so these guys were just far too powerful for David to overcome. And so I find it interesting. We don't have any word in here. I wonder what David's relationship with his sister was. I mean, this is their son, right? And it could have been, according to the scriptures, it might be a half-sister from a previous marriage that Jesse had. So it might not have been a full sister. But you could trace that those genealogies back in 1 Samuel. And so David declares that he's being restored to his throne, and that's a cause of celebration, not judgment. He's just not going to deal with Shimei. Now notice what he says here. He makes this promise to Shimei. He says, listen, you know, he prevents Abishai from lopping off his head. That must have been one of the great things Abishai wanted to accomplish in his life, to lop off this guy's head. And he says, remember, originally when Shimei cursed him, said, who knows, maybe God told him to do that this day as part of my punishment. And so now David swears to Shimei, you shall surely not die. Now that sounds like what? Total reprieve, doesn't it? I mean, you're not going to die. I mean, isn't that what it sounds like? If you're not going to die, then I'm not going to have you executed. And so that sounds like a reprieve. Shimei thinks, okay, this king has forgiven him totally. The incident's behind them. So we fast forward to David's deathbed 20 years later, 2 Kings 2, 8 and 9, and we read the following passage. And see, he's telling Solomon, and see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite. He calls him a Benjamite here. Now, is he a Benjamite or house of Joseph? Or did he identify with a Benjamite? I don't know. Maybe dad was from Ephraim and mom was a Benjamite. I don't know, but if you have this call him a Benjamite here, but he calls himself of the house of Joseph. So what is it? I don't know. Benjamite from Behurim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day that I went to Mahanaim, but he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now, therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man and know what you ought to do to him, but bring his gray hair down to the grave with blood. I mean, this is on his deathbed, right? I mean, what's going on here? So obviously for 20 years he's been carrying this angst in his heart. He could have done it himself, right? He could have, you know, had him executed earlier, but here he's on his deathbed, and you would expect, by the way, when we get to that deathbed thing, it's an amazing thing. You would think you're telling the guy's going to take over and do wise things. He's going to kill this guy and kill this guy. Well, I mean, that's quite a deathbed instruction, right? You know, son, let me tell you something. I want you to kill all these guys. So here we have this. 20 years later, David tells Solomon to kill Shimei. Now, David has sworn that he would not kill Shimei. I guess he didn't swear, just an equivocation as far as I'm concerned, that someone else wouldn't kill Shimei. But he says, I shall not kill you. See, I don't understand the whole thinking here. I mean, if you want him dead, what's the thing? Now, some commentators think, and I think they might be a little bit right, but I don't think they're totally right, that he doesn't want Shimei to be a problem for Solomon. But I think that's kind of a stretch, because remember he says, listen, he cursed me. Don't hold him guiltless for this. You know what this does? It makes his son the executioner, right? In other words, he wants his son to do something he himself wouldn't do. So this is just kind of strange. So apparently David's been holding this grudge against Shimei. Apparently David had not forgiven Shimei at all. But he showed an inability to execute judgment, an inability to execute forgiveness, either one of them. He sought personal revenge. And we talked about this last week. You really cannot mix your calling with your personal feelings. If you're in a position of leadership, from family on up, right, you have to do what's right, not what you feel like. You don't punish your kids because they made you upset. You correct your children based upon what's right. And remember, everything we do it as stewards of the Lord. We don't own anything. We're just stewards. You know, Lord, what would you want me to do in this position? Lord, what you want to do in this situation? And so David is taking this very, very personally, and is going to use this as his own personal opportunity to take vengeance 20 years later. And so David had not forgiven Shimei at all. He sought personal revenge against both Joab and Shimei. Of course, he does the same thing with Joab. Don't let his head go down to the grave. I don't know if he's thinking Solomon gets a clean start by chopping everybody's head off. I'm not quite sure what the thinking is. The other thing that's really sad, if David wanted to deal with things, he should deal with himself. I'm to pass it on to your children to do your dirty work, I don't think shows any courage at all or any sense of decency, right? And David did not deal with either Shimei or Joab, but he makes Solomon do it. It's rather disappointing. Now, I know David is a man after God's own heart, and there's many things we see in his thing, but it's disappointing that David seems neither to have the capacity to judge properly or forgive completely. You got to do one or the other, right? You got to judge properly or forgive completely. If you waller in the middle, you're in trouble. See, effective leadership requires decisive, proper actions. And if you're not willing to take the decisive, proper actions, you don't belong in that position of leadership. Now, one of the things we don't see with David either, as we conclude, and we'll have a discussion here, we don't see any guiding principles in this administration, do we? Okay, here are my principles, right? Here's my principle of justice. Here's my principles of mercy. Here's my principle. We just don't see. He's guided by personal feelings, which is very whimsical. I know some of you were raised in families, hopefully not, but some raised in families that mom was rather whimsical, where if she's in a good mood, great. If she's in a bad mood, watch out, right? Matter of fact, I remember a story I was told by one of our speakers when I was in a Christian school. They had a teacher who was very moody, and so they would send a scout in first, and he would test the waters. Then he'd come out, and if she was in a good mood, he'd go. If she was in a bad mood, he'd go, watch out. Very improper. It's an awesome responsibility to have leadership. and we're responsible to do it right, not by whims. One last thing before we pray and then we'll have a discussion is revenge is an obsession that will eat you alive. Revenge is an obsession that will eat you alive. It's allowing someone else to live rent-free in your brain. And if you really don't have the capacity to forgive, then it'll tear you apart. That's why the Lord said, listen, if you don't forgive others who have wronged you, I will not forgive you before my Father and the holy angels. Forgiveness is hard. We're going to talk about that in the 11 o'clock message when we deal with the three commanded virtues. You know, we're going to talk about that, but very difficult. David seemed to work on a whimsical level rather than a level of principles. And the scriptures give us very strong principles. I think had David spent more time in the book of Leviticus to understand the commandments and principles of God, he might have been a better king. He might have been a better king. Let's pray, and then we'll have a discussion. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the time we've had here. We thank you, Lord, for looking at these principles and looking at David and what he did here with Shimei. We just pray, Lord, that we'll learn how to respond based upon the principles of the Word of God rather than our own personal feelings and direction, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that as we discuss these things, that we'll draw out those things that we can use to live in our lives, Lord, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.